number 700, Olasang Chitima. And we're going to use the alternate text at the bottom, those two verses at the bottom of the page.
Gets an itch on their forehead at the same time. But if you remember last night, we talked about how the sign of the cross makes us into a target, and it's a good analogy because it's true. Think about the fact that you are turning your mind into a target, lips and heart into a target, in that order, because that's exactly what Jesus, the devil, attacks first. Corrupts our mind. Fake news, bad religion, heresies. Confusion. Questions that never get answered because they never get asked. Screws the mind up. So what do? We talk nonsense. I hear it all the time. I've actually heard people who think they're theologians, they're not, spewing out lies. Even worse, people not even telling other people that they love what Jesus has done for them. In fact, their lips are closed when it comes to Jesus. And if you don't talk about someone you love, then you're not going to feel it in your heart. So let these words enter your mind, on your lips, speak these words, and in your heart. Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters arrived, and standing outside, they sent word and called to him. And the crowd was seated around him and told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside looking for you." But he said to them in reply, "And who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" And then looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. For whoever does the will of God is brother, sister, and mother to me." The Gospel of the Lord. You can have a seat, and I just want to ask a question. How many are here for the first time tonight? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a pretty good number. Where were you yesterday? No, I'm kidding with you. So keep your hand raised if you were here the first time. Point to the person who dragged you here. Who was that dragged you? Okay, good. That person that dragged you here, give them a big hug right now. Just do it. Do it. And here is why. They brought you here for one reason alone. They want you to be a part of Jesus' family. They want this gospel passage to come true for you. And I use this gospel passage because even though it sounds beautiful, it's incredibly challenging. Especially for us Catholics who think that Jesus, who know that Jesus was the only child. You know, we do know that. We also know that Mary's pregnancy was miraculous, and therefore we know she only had one child, So who are these other people? And in fact, a lot of theologians, including people who consider themselves theologians, but they're really novelists, like this one guy named Dan Brown. Do you remember Dan Brown? About 15 years ago, he wrote a book called The Da Vinci Code, and it was a book that questioned whether Jesus was God or just a really smart, charismatic leader. And therefore, they brought up this passage because Mary then cannot be any of that stuff that Catholics believe about her. She's not a special woman, and she definitely had a lot of kids. And so we have to first of all realize that this reading sounds confusing in English, but it wasn't written in English. It was actually written in Greek, because it was a more universal language at the time. And so if you read this, it's going to make perfect sense, because the word Delphoi could mean brothers or sisters, but it could also mean cousins. It could also mean villagers. So when I go to the city of brotherly love, Philadelphoi in Greek, these people are not related to me. But if you get a good cheesesteak sandwich, that man is my brother. I don't care what you say. So you can see there's a bigger meaning here. So stop pretending like the Bible makes it out like Jesus was a jerk to his mother. So you could either interpret this passage in either one of two ways. Jesus as a jerk, or Jesus as the Son of God. And it would sound like this if Jesus was a jerk. Who are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters? And somehow he goes like, looks at Mary and goes, pushes her aside and says, here are my mother, brother, and sisters. And if he disrespected Mary like that, I can guarantee you, Mary would just simply miraculously make her way to the center of the crowd and smack Jesus up the side of his head. Because she would have every right to do it, because then Jesus would be disrespecting his father's fourth commandment, honor thy mother and father. So maybe Jesus isn't a jerk, but maybe Jesus is speaking as God and saying, who are my mother, brothers, and sisters? If you just pray it and every Our Father, I don't know if you realize that, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you were actually praying that prayer seriously, you are like the Olive Garden. When you're here, your family. He's literally not closing off his family. He's inviting you to do it. And if anything, he's complimenting Mary, because who was the first to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? Now that would be her. Who was the first to say, let it be done according to thy will? And that would be Mary. So I'm just going to tell you, this talk is going to be about Mary, because even Catholics don't understand who Mary is. And I am here to tell you that I am 100% proud to say I am a mama's boy. I love the Blessed Mother because, let me just say it, put it this way. Mary is not important to Catholics. Mary is not important to Christians. Mary is necessary. And I hope you see the difference. Internet's important. It's not necessary. And so when we focus on tonight with Mary, it's not because we're trying to kick Jesus out of the picture. It's because she can tell us who she is. And that's why I devoted 2 more years to get an advanced degree in Mariology from Rome. I was actually assigned to do it after I was ordained a priest. My bishop sent me for further study. He called me into his office and he says, Father Leo, I appoint you to study Mariology at the Pontifical Institute Marianum in Rome. What is your answer? What's the question? You know, I mean, I'm going to go, so I'm going to go. And I was excited to go, because this is awesome to go there again. I had studied in Italy already, but now to go for an advanced degree in Mariology, the study of Mary and the life of Christ. And I was super excited. This is in the 90s. That's when laptop computers just came out. So I was a really good Asian, up to date with technology, had my computer out, and I was ready to take notes because this professor was smart. He was brilliant. I had read his books, super brain. And I was a little nervous, but as soon as he walked into the class, I knew I liked him because I was taller than him. It was amazing. I was taller than him, I had my computer out, and I needed to take notes and pay attention because in my classes, all of the classes were taught in the Italian language. So everything I did was in Italian. And I don't know about you, I needed to focus because whenever I hear anyone speak Italian, I get hungry. I'm not sure why. So I took notes, and he walked up to the podium, stepped up, and he goes like this. Maria. Which means, oh, bravo, you speak Italian too. And he goes, Virgine, Madre, and then he paused and he looked at everyone and then he goes, Impossibile. And he walked out of the classroom. I typed four words and I'm thinking, am I getting my money's worth here? What is going on? But for a week, because the class only met 1 week for like 3 hours, he made us think of something we say all the time at Christmas. Mary is virgin and mother. That is impossible. Do I need to draw a picture? But I want you to focus on that last word, impossibile, because it comes from the Latin verb potere, where we get possible, possui, possible, potentia, power. The verb potere means to be able to do something. And so if something is potent, like God is omnipotent, then God can do anything because God is not impotent. Awkward. Because I'm talking about something of a human condition. God is not impotent. God can make an old lady pregnant, a virgin conceive. How does God do this? Well, God can do anything. Listen, if God can turn me into a priest, he can turn you into a saint. But the only reason why God's power does not come about is because we are contra the concept of God. We contracept God. Mary did not believe in the contra cons. She received all of God. And she gave all of herself to God. I think one of the big problems in Christianity is not that we don't have enough priests, it's that we don't have enough Christians living a life fully. They limit God. And they don't give themselves completely to God. That's just from one word. What do you think is impossible in your life? And whose fault is it? Is it God's or is it us? Why don't we have world peace? Well, I can tell you, that ain't God's fault. It is our fault. Because we're limiting what God can do. God can even make us forgive the most annoying person. And they might be sitting next to you. I'm just saying. And in a sense, God can even be giving you the opportunity to love that person even more fully, as long as we're not willing to put up a barrier between God and us. So anyway, I studied Mariology and I loved it because it gave me a chance to kind of see why we have all these Catholic Mary things all over the place. And I'm proud of it. So there was one day I was back in the United States And I was in between classes during semesters, and I had to go to this workshop on how to become a chaplain for a hospital. So I was sitting there, and it was ecumenical, interreligious, different religious groups. And the only available seat was next to this very attractive African-American woman who was a minister, a priestess, a reverend of the Church AME, African Methodist Episcopalian. And what was really awkward was she had the same black outfit I had on. Yeah. Awkward, right? So we're sitting there and she goes, "Brother Leo, it's nice meeting you. Nice to meet you too, Reverend so-and-so." And she goes, "What are you doing with yourself right now?" I said, "I'm still a student in Rome and I'm studying Mariology." And you could see, she got it. She goes, "Why would you study that?" She was all up in my grill. It was unbelievable. And I said, "Because Mary is the first Christian." And she said, "Is that right?" I said, "Yes. She was the first to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. She followed Jesus wherever he went, even to the point of following to the foot of the cross. And you better believe that she who gave birth to him on earth will be given eternal life by that Son in heaven." And she looked at me and she said, "Preach it, Brother Leo, preach it." So guess what I got to do? Preach about Mary. And why? Because she's awesome. She's amazing. She is what God intended. If you think that there's anything special about Mary, it's not because of anything she did. She even said, "I'm nothing. I ain't nothing." So how is she so powerful? Well, maybe because God made her that way. And then you're going to say, "Oh yeah, I've heard about the Immaculate Conception. Your church." And we don't even understand it. Because now we think, "Oh, Mary has nothing to do with us. She was born sinless. Lucky her." We're born with original sin. And that's annoying. Because that means all of our stupidity and sinfulness and brokenness, that's because we all share the same parent, Adam and Eve, who really messed it up for everybody. But then, God, and it says in the Bible, in the fullness of time. In other words, when God wanted to make it happen, God will raise up a sinless woman, and this is just prefigured in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, a woman who will be able to step on the head of the serpent. Okay, so I'm giving you a little background here because this all leads to this dogma, which everyone gets very nervous about, but it's just simply a word that means definition. And why? Because we don't have definitions anymore. We're all a bunch of relativists. What you think is fine, what I think is fine, everything is fine. No, not everything is fine. We need definitions. And the dogma of the Immaculate Conception basically says this, that God is the one who made Mary sinless so that we can be born again in the way God intended. And then you're going to say, "Well, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in the Bible?" And I say, in the first pages. God made Adam and Eve sinless. Because that's been God's plan the entire time. God doesn't want us to have sin, which is why we get baptized in what is known as the womb, where we're born again, and the tomb, where sin is killed. And if we don't take that seriously, then let's ask this. Why is Jesus considered the new Adam, who gives birth to a church through the side? Blood and water flows. And if Jesus is the new Adam, then who is the new Eve? You can see, I take it very seriously. Because I take mothers seriously. Especially since I am my parents' favorite child. So, I go home when I can, and when I was a young priest, I would visit my mom and dad for lunch, because again, I'm their favorite. And so I went to lunch one day, and we're having a nice lunch, mom, dad, and myself. The doorbell rings, and my mom goes to answer the door, opens it up, and there are these two good-looking guys standing there. Black pants, white shirt, black tie, name badges. You know who they are. They're the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And let me tell you, I love them. I disagree with them, but that doesn't mean I hate them. By the way, disagreement doesn't mean hate speech. Okay? It just means you disagree. And I love the Mormons and their piety. I disagree with them. They sometimes get on my nerves, but I gotta love them. Your siblings get on your nerves. You gotta love them too. Why are we just so wimpy today with disagreement? Why can't we just simply talk about it? Anyway, my mom answers the door. The guys were there and they said, "Ma'am, we don't mean to disturb you, but we just respectfully want to ask you about your relationship to Jesus Christ." And my mom said, "Boy, come on in. Come on in. Have a seat. Have a seat. And let me get you something to drink. And let me introduce you to my family. My son is here visiting." So I walk out wearing this. And they're like, "Oh, good grief." No big deal. Again, I disagree with them. We can still be friends. So a couple weeks later, I was teaching them karate. During the break, they said, "Hey man, Brother Leo, thank you for teaching us a few moves. But if you don't mind, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He goes, "Why do you guys worship Mary? I mean, you're a Christian. Why do you worship Mary?" I go, "Well, we don't." And he goes, "But you got statues and stuff like that." I was like, "Hold on." So gave him a pause, ran up to my mom and dad's bedroom, pulled out the photo album that they have of me when I was a baby growing up, and I ran down, started showing it to them, because I was adorable, right? So I'm just showing them these pictures, and they're like, "Dude, why are you showing these pictures of you as a baby?" And I said, "Because we're friends." I'm like, "Yeah?" And I said, "Get to know me. Get to know me. Not just at this moment. Get to know me when I was a baby." And they're like, "Okay." And then I said, "But then, who do you think took these pictures of me when I was a baby?" And they said, "Well, your mom and dad." And I said, "Precisely why we honor Mary. Because without her, he wouldn't have the Gospel of Luke. I can tell you that much. Luke wasn't even a disciple. He was a foreigner. How would he know anything about Mary? I mean, about Jesus. But Mary would tell him, which is why Luke is also attributed to painting the picture of Mary holding the child Jesus. The first picture ever, a portrait, because Luke was also an artist. And so from those stories, we get the Gospel of Luke, we get the first image of Mary holding Jesus, which basically tells you and me that if you want to know about Jesus, ask Mary. And she says, "I've told you all about him. That's why this little girl kneeling is holding this rosary. Because the rosary is basically a spiritual photo album of the life of Jesus. That's it. It's not a time for you to practice your auctioneering skills." Hail Mary, full grace, Lord, believe us right now. Sold to the woman in the red. No! This is a meditation of the life of Christ through the eyes of the woman who knew him best. She literally, in the Gospels, will say, "Magnificat anima mea Domini." In Latin, in English it means, "My soul doth magnify the greatness of the Lord." That's not her being arrogant. That is her, according to the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "My soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord." And I want you to focus on the word magnify, because it reminds me when I was a kid, parents gave me a spy kit, again, favorite child, because I love that spy kit, and in the spy kit was a magnifying glass. And that was my favorite thing ever. Because you know what a magnifying glass can do. Oh yeah. It can make something small appear bigger. And it can make something humongous smaller. It can take a speck and make it bigger, because sometimes God is not quite visible. We need to put on magnifiers. But it can also take the eternal sun and focus it in such a way that it can literally burn something. So I love that thing. Little insects in front of me hated that thing, but I loved it. And it made me think, if Mary's soul is a magnifier, she could make the little cluster of cells in her womb so visible that even John the Baptist will dance in Elizabeth's womb and say, oh my gosh, you are the holy ark of the covenant because you have the presence of God dwelling within you. She can show God through her, and she can take all of God and focus it in such a way, not so that it will burn us, but so that God can cuddle us. Cuddle. Like a baby cuddle. How awesome is that? When people thought of God, they were fearful. They were like, oh gosh, don't, no, don't strike. Look at Moses at the burning bush. I'm going to die. And then when God decided to show the face, it wasn't angry. It was adorable. And what does a baby do? And here's where I get really pro-life. A baby pulls out unconditional love out of us, doesn't it? And I think we're now putting conditions on love, which is why we don't choose babies. And what I need you to do tonight is I need you to make a decision on who is your God and who is your mother. Because if we leave Mary aside, we are kicking out a necessary part of Christianity. And the fact is, I can only imagine what it's going to be like for people who don't like Mary. Don't pay attention to her. Jesus is going to welcome you into the kingdom and say, welcome. And we're going to think we're all so excited. And then they're going to say, hey, did you ever meet my family? This is my mom. By the way, do you care about her? You better, because Jesus does. And that's why you need to make a decision. A very important word. And it comes from two Latin words. De, to, from, of. Cidere. And that verb means to kill. So if you commit a homo cidere, you commit a homicide. You commit a sui cidere, you commit suicide. If you make a de cidere, we have that language in Congress. Kill a bill. And if you therefore make a wrong decision, it could literally mean life and death. And I'm just so glad that Mary made the decision and said yes to God. But I'll be honest with you. We have a very beautiful notion of Mary. But this woman experienced tremendous challenges. Which is why I said she is a perfect instructor for what is known as spiritual combat, because she did battle with the devil. And yes, you brothers in the back there, you, in the end, come with me. Yeah, you, come with me. He's, like, excited about this. I don't know. He doesn't know what's going on, but I want to bring him up. Wait, how tall are you? Okay. Your normal height, which means taller than me. Come on up. We're going to enter into the sanctuary. What is your name? Connor. Thank you, Connor, for coming up here. Stand right here, please. Connor, how old are you? You're 18 years old. I brought Connor up here simply because he was sitting in the back. Just like, don't do that. We see you perfectly back there, all right? There's plenty of room up in the front of churches. So I called you up because I need to use you as a, an assistant in showing us what spiritual combat looks like, what Mary went through in fighting against the devil. Because you heard it in the passage I read last night from the book of Revelations, right? The devil hates her and will do anything to destroy her. And how did she defend herself? She didn't. She let God's omnipotency do it for her. Whenever you see a beautiful statue, Do you compliment the statue or do you not compliment the artist? And therefore, everything about Mary in the Catholic Church has nothing to do about Mary. It has everything to do about God who made her for the purpose of Jesus who will redeem her. So you, Connor, are called forth to engage in that spiritual battle that Mary is constantly fighting for, because all mothers are fighting for their children. And what we're going to do is we're going to just imagine that I am a simple, humble, quiet... What is your problem, people? Shy... priest with 2/3-degree black belts in the martial arts. Connor is going to play the role of the devil. Wait. Why are you excited about this? Okay. So Connor is going to play the devil. I'm going to play a priest getting attacked by the devil. We're going to engage spiritual combat. And I'm going to teach you the A, B, C's, and D's of martial arts, which has happened to be the same as in spiritual combat. So, Connor, are you ready to engage in this battle? Face me.
Let's do this.
All right. Let me get my microphone out here. Connor, I want you to make a fist. And I want you to punch me. Punch me. Because you're the devil. So punch me. Yes. Okay, stop. The last time I got attacked by the devil, it didn't look like this. Yeah. Punch me. Ooh. You get the heaven out of there. But most of the time, we don't avoid the irritation of sin. We ask for it. Think about it. Gossip. Telling lies. Laziness. The internet alone. And yeah, you might think, did he just do that? Yes, because the devil fights sheep. The devil always attacks us where we are weakest. That's why I'm saying the first step in all combat is avoid it. Stay away from anything that could be potentially harmful to your soul. Because technically, let's just put it this way. Pretend you are possessed by the devil. What was that again? You're possessed, so act possessed. Just pretend you're possessed, like what you see in the movie. It's like you're possessed by the devil. Do it. Oh, okay. Okay, no, he's good. This guy is good. Let me tell you. So, go ahead, pretend like you're possessed again. Take that pose, yes. And pretend I have holy water, and I'm doing an exorcism, And I go, yes, exactly, this is good. You see? So technically, if I am a priest, if I am a Christian, if I am a child of God, if I'm trying to do right things, guess what? Technically, if this is the devil can't touch this. Can't touch this. And so if we're getting smacked, it's because we're asking for it. And therefore, we avoid it so that we can exercise step B, which you might think is, what, the devil? But the devil's got another hand, and the devil's going to keep punching. And the devil's going to keep punching, and the devil's got feet, and the devil's going to kick. Oh, okay. Father, when are confessions available? So we don't block in the martial arts. We don't. Because it hurts. We instead be bypass. We let the temptation pass us by. Just like Job. Job didn't fight back. He just waited. And let me give you some really amazing news. No temptation will last forever. What we've got to do literally is just let it go. Let it go. I hate that song so much. I hate it so very much. But it's true. But let me tell you, if the devil, and this is what my spiritual director told me, if the devil is constantly knocking on the front door of your heart, and we can't avoid it, because the devil will do that, here's what my spiritual director told me to do. Close all the windows, open up the back door, open up the front door, let the devil in, close the front door, let the devil out, close the back door. And here's why. My spiritual director is right. Maybe if we're being tempted, it's because God is allowing it in order for us to learn what is weak in us. Remember, the devil only attacks the weakest part of a fortress. And therefore, if we're experiencing tension there, maybe God is saying, you need to go and make that part of you stronger. And it's just like spiritual exercises. If you're having trouble with something, fast, pray, learn about it. It will cause suffering. But just like the Marines say, when you're exercising and it hurts, it's weakness leaving the body. We've got to realize that we can let things go, because no temptation will last forever. And if it does, maybe it's God telling you something. We got to work on something in our life. And therefore, if you can do that, then you can exercise step C, which is control. Nice. So not control the devil, because technically I can't control the devil, but I can control my reactions to the devil, because if I don't control my reaction, then guess what? The temptation will control me. And therefore, the only thing I've got to do at this point is exercise step D, which is destroy the devil. So, let's reenact this in a more realistic way, the A, B, C's, and D's. So let's just pretend that I am back in high school, and that I'm in the cafeteria, and I'm talking to all of my friends who are also on the basketball team with me. You people are mean. This is just my way of explaining this, because tall people are cool, and if we're all hanging out together, I must be cool too. And so we're all doing what tall, cool people do, which is make fun of little people. So, let's just pretend I'm just talking to my friends, and in comes this girl in the cafeteria, and we all know her. She's very pretty, and she's very popular, because she's also on the cheerleading squad, and she really knows how to work her pom-poms and everything, right? These, unfortunately, are very real temptations.
Am I kidding? No, you know it's true. And therefore, you can see what's happening as she walks in. Whatever's in my mind, and then my friends say, oh yeah, Leo, you know about her, yeah, isn't she? Yeah, we all, what do you think of her? What do you think? Doesn't she look like? And you could technically say, I am avoiding a near occasion of sin. And your friends are going to look at you and they're going to be like, what the fake? They're not going to know what hit them. They're not going to know what hit them. So guess what? There are some temptations you can't avoid. And therefore, you've got to engage that spiritual combat. You could say things like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to control my tongue. Maybe even change the direction of the conversation. But you know what? Let's leave the pretty girl out of it. Because maybe if I said something stupid, it might not be because I'm a sinful, horrible pervert. It might be because I think she's pretty, I'm insecure, I want to ask her out, but I'm embarrassed. Maybe it's about immaturity and insecurity. So please, dads, talk to your children, your grandchildren, and be honest with them about becoming a gentleman. Talk to, if you're in charge of a pretty girl who is a cheerleader, tell her about the power of her beauty. So that we treat each other with a little bit of respect. So let's leave the pretty girl out of it, and let's let the biggest dork from high school come into the cafeteria. I think his name is Connor. And you can see what's gonna happen. Let's do it slow motion. Yo, Leo, check out that big loser over there. Yeah, isn't he a big dummy? Yeah, what about that girl over there? And you can see what's gonna happen, so guess what you gotta do? Avoid jumping into it. Jumping into the conversation. Let those temptations pass by. Control the conversation. And it'll look like this. What do you think of that big loser, Connor? What do you think of that pretty girl over there? What do they, don't they look like? Don't they look like? You spring into action and you say, they look like a child of God. And with that, you literally destroy the devil. And you know it's true, because the truth sets you free. And if we see the power of God in the most beautiful and in the ugliest, the most vulnerable, and even in the fetus, which by the way is simply Latin for small person, then we will see that truth destroys evil. And you all thought that I was going to beat Connor up. But I wouldn't do it. Because I'd get sued. And let me tell you something. Connor, I do this around the world. And you just happen to be one of the worst devils I've ever worked with in my entire life. Which makes you awesome. So let's give it up for God Creator. Even some of the ones that were here last night converted into saints are still here. And I'm sure that gives you great hope, doesn't it? Because they're beautiful. And more importantly, they're trying. We're struggling with our faith so much, people. We don't need to beat each other up. The devil is doing it for us. And therefore, if we really care about Mary, look to one of the encyclicals written by Paul VI. He wrote Marianus Curtus, the cult of Mary, not as if Mary is a cult, but worship, not even worship, but the veneration of Mary. And he said this, if you really want to make Mary a part of your life, then imitate her virtues. You could have statues all over the place, like some Catholic hoarder or something, you know? But that doesn't make you a good mama's boy or a mama's girl. It just makes you someone with bad taste. If you really want Mary to be a part of your life, imitate her virtues. And how did she destroy the devil? by letting God do it for her. Remember, in the reading I gave last night, who gave her the wings to fly against the evil one? Who came to the help when the devil was trying to spew water and drown her? She let God do it in her. And sometimes we like to control our faith. Anyone here type A and very controlling? Please don't point. But we love to do it with our faith. We say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as long as you consult me first. And that's not what Mary did. She said, I will do whatever you want. I know it's not going to be easy, but with you as my strength, all things are possible. And that's why the angel said, with God, all things are potentia ex, not impotent, but omnipotent. And that's how I feel about Mary, which is why when I was a newly ordained priest, with a lot of chutzpah, I took seminarians on a pilgrimage to Rome, because I'm good at this. Real good. But things kept going wrong. They still had an awesome time. But in my mind, I was like, I planned all of this, and now the buses are like, I was going a little crazy. So I thought, because they still had a great time, that God was blessing me. On the ride home, I was given bulkhead seating. Do you know what that is? That means no seats in front of me on the plane, which for me is first class. And since I am 5'5", I could use all the leg room I could get, right? Super excited. This woman taps me on the shoulder and she goes, Father, are you traveling alone? And I'm like, yeah, I am. She goes, oh, they messed up our tickets at the gate. I was supposed to be sitting next to my husband. Now he's sitting next to you. And I'm thinking, oh, I get it. You want me to sit? So I looked at her and I said, oh, so you want to switch seats with me? And she says, do you mind? And I said, no, not at all, not at all. So, because I have this on, I have to be nice to couples, right? So she gives me her ticket. She sits in row 8,000. I get that, and I'm getting all my stuff, and everyone is looking at me funny. The seminarians are like, and the only thing I could think of was the gospel passage. If you are invited to a banquet, do not sit at the head of the banquet, but someone more important is going to kick you out to the kiddies table. And so I'm going back there, and they're all wondering, what did you do wrong? And so I was in the middle seat, had to crawl over this woman who was reading some book, sit down finally, look at the guy at the window, and I go, good morning. And he goes, bleh. And I, honestly, the first thought in my mind was, this sucks. Being very honest. So I turned to prayer, opened up my prayer book, which we pray 5 times a day. Everyone's very impressed with my Muslim brothers and sisters because they pray 5 times a day. We do it too! Morning prayer, night prayer, 3 prayers before you eat, platinggrace.com. That's 5 times a day. So I started to pray, closed my book, and entered into meditation, which is priest language for take a nap. So I was going to offer devotions to Our Lady of the Pillows, seek the intercession of Saints Serpa and Celia Postropeda. And as soon as I started my meditation, the woman next to me with the book slammed her book shut. I looked at her because it startled me. I looked at the book. She was reading the Da Vinci Code. And then she says to me, are you a Catholic priest? And I looked at her and I thought, I could be Anglican. But I said, yes, yes, I'm a Catholic priest. And she says, well, can I ask you a few questions? And I said, okay. And as soon as I said yes, wait, when Mary said yes, the clouds dispersed, the sun shined, angels sang, When I said yes, full moon comes out, teeth grew, hair came out of her mole, and I could literally feel her on my jugular, and she whips into me and goes, why can't friends get married? Why can't women become free? Why don't you recognize people and think that you can't love each other and be married? And why does the church deny that Jesus loved and was in love with Mary Magdalene? And I looked at her, and I said, if you want to ask me a question, then ask. But if you want to pick a fight, bring it. And the guy next to me goes, whoa. And at that moment, I felt the presence of Mary come to my aid as she slapped me upside my head. And I'll be honest with you, it was at that moment I really felt scolded by Mary. And literally in my heart, I'm no mystic, but I felt in my heart Mary say, thank you for trying to defend the Catholic faith. But why are you so defensive? Thank you for trying to honor the teachings of the church. But aren't good teachers willing to listen to the question without jamming the answers down their throat? What would my son do with the stone in his hand? And I felt really like a mama's boy. And so I just thought, what would Jesus do? I would listen. Because that's what Jesus does whenever we complain, also known as pray. Did you get that? We whine and complain, and we call that prayer. Or we say useless words that we're not even aware of what we're even saying. And yet he listens. So I listened to this woman for 9 hours long and practiced what I learned in seminary called active listening, which, by the way, is not you simply repeating what they say and say, what I heard you say is, and you repeat it, because that's not active listening, that's actively annoying. Active listening is when you hear God speak to you through another person. That's active listening. So, women, when your husband comes home from work and they fall asleep on the couch or lazy boy, what is God saying to you? Wake them up! Men, when you come home and you fall asleep and your wife says, I need you to mow the lawn and paint the fence, what is God saying to you? Mow the lawn and paint the fence. Or, if the husband comes home and falls asleep, women, what is God saying to you? Maybe God is saying to you, let him sleep. Give him a beer. Make him a sandwich. Massage his feet. Guys, you're welcome. When your kids are acting up like idiots, what is God saying to you? Buy them less toys. Put them on a pilgrimage with Father Leo. You can see, that's what we have to do. What was God saying to me through this annoying lady? And then I heard how she made some bad decisions in her life, not just with marriage, but in raising a family. And she felt that the priest was just a bunch of old, mean men. And I wasn't even that old. But I was a little mean. And at the end of 9 hours, the plane landed. Thank you, God. And as she was disembarking, and I said very little, I even helped her with her baggage. And they were heavy. She said to me the most annoying thing you can say to me in that moment. She said, can I give you a hug? And I literally, my eyes kind of rolled up, And that's when I saw the Blessed Mother literally from heaven go, "You hug her right away." Hugged her. She went on her way. The guy at the window grabbed my arm and he goes, And I felt like a mama's boy. We're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to just take a position of prayer. Don't leave yet. We're praying. So you can wait a minute. Come on. Remember, don't be cheap. God gave us just an extra, not even an hour yet. Let's consider how Mary is a loving mother. And how we are called to be children. Jesus, we thank you for giving us Mary. We sometimes don't pay attention to her, but that's what mothers are used to in a way. Especially in this war against women, which is not by Republicans or Democrats. It is from the devil. So Lord, give us the courage to say, I decide you, God, as my Father, and I decide that Mary is my mother, and I ask not to be baptized by my parents, but that I choose to believe that when I was baptized, I was born again. And even though we might question why we have pictures and statues, well, there's no difference from why we have pictures and memorabilia, people we love in our own home, because that's what a mom does. She makes this church our home. Which, guess what that means for you? Get involved. Don't be a bunch of spoiled kids constantly receiving, but give of yourself to God. Don't contracept yourself. Receive God fully, give your life fully, and guess what you will have? Life dwelling within you. You, Mary, are a woman, not an insult, but a compliment, because that is what God created in Eve. You are the new Eve. You are the living holy tabernacle with the presence of Christ dwelling. You are the Ark of the Covenant because God did keep His promise and made us pure, because only the pure of heart, the Beatitudes say, will see God, which is why in her purity she magnifies God. We talked a full hour about Mary, which should only lead us to love Jesus more. And just like Jesus, we would love His brothers and sisters more. So in confidence we can say the words of the Bible, the words of the angel, and the words of the woman who would give birth to Jesus' cousin, Elizabeth. These are their words. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And then the second part of the prayer, it just makes sense. If we could ask each other for prayers on earth, why don't we ask our family in heaven for prayers? Because they do care. And when you're in heaven, your work only really begins. So if you're worried about your children, fear not. Because if you precede them to the glory of heaven, then you can intercede for them. And that is some powerful stuff. Because it's not you trying to make your kids Catholic, it's God making them Catholic through you. Which requires you to live your life on earth, headed in heaven's direction. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
And now let's just consider for one more moment, what is the virtues of Mary that we need more in our hearts, and minds, and lives? Is it her meekness? Is it her quiet? Or is it her boldness? Is it her activity? Is it her sacrifice? Is it her faithfulness in suffering? Is it her perseverance to get to heaven? Or is it simply her love for Jesus? What is that virtue that we need in our life? And like Mary, we give glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, now and shall be, world without end. You can be seated. In just a moment, the ushers are going to take up the collection. Whatever generosity you can provide, greatly appreciate it. It supports my ministry to work with our nonprofit group. You can go ahead and take up the collection. And to work with ex-convicts. You guys, you can just go ahead and come on up. Yeah, come on up. So thank you for that. If you are making a checkout, it just simply goes to Blakening Grace. And the books are available, and all of that also goes to support us. My new book is called Saving the Family, is coming out. Father is going to come up in just a moment. Go ahead, you start it out. But while the collection is getting taken up, let me just explain something to you. How did I beat Bobby Flay? Because you guys came perhaps for that reason. I told you that I cheated. I did not cheat. I did not cheat. In fact, when he challenged me, I didn't realize it was him. And then I figured out, and then I got kind of scared, but then I got kind of brave and I said, you know, he said, I challenge you to a steak fajita throwdown. I said, you know what? If God is my witness, I am not afraid of you. Bring it. And I looked up at heaven, and the Blessed Mother again looked down and said, you're an idiot. So gonna lose. Well, how did I beat him? Especially since he had three professional chefs helping him. I didn't have three I had one priest wearing a do-rag helping me. That's all I had. But they brought out plate A to the judges who didn't know whose was whose. Plate A was mine and plate B was Bobby's. They tasted plate A and they said that it was amazing. And they tasted Bobby's and they said, it was good. But his was amazing. How did I beat it? Well, I'll tell you. During the judging, I whipped out my rosary and I started to pray. The priest pulled out his rosary, started to pray. A couple good Catholics prayed. My mom and dad, one of each hand, they were double fisting it. I even think there was a Muslim guy in the crowd. He pulled out his beads and he's like, la 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 la. And you know what? I will take his praise. Because if you're praying to the true God, that God is not going to tell you to put a bomb on you and blow people up. No. That God is going to tell you to put on an apron, and I've got some available. And that God is going to say, put on an apron and feed people. And then they blow up. But in a good way, blow up. You know? And that's been my job for these past few days. I'm trying to feed you with spirituality, and it ain't easy. Which is why I have to put a lot of sweet vinaigrette on the bitter herbs of truth. But your job, honestly, is to develop a taste for the bitter herbs of truth. Because they are delicious, and they're really good to digest. And it will help us to be less constipated in our faith. You know that feeling. Isn't it horrible? You're constantly receiving, but not giving. So what do we got to do? Do something for your faith. Give of yourself to others. And trust that God can fill you up. And even though I was here for the past few days and I have loved it, I've got one day more tomorrow. And again, I'll be available to just meet, greet, and sign books because Christmas is only 9 months away. And they really support our ministry. I'll be very honest with you. I'm only good in small doses. I'm like the crazy uncle that feeds candy to the kids at 9 o'clock at night. And then I leave.
And while that doesn't mean I don't love you any less, that love of excitement and joy is only part of the equation. It is the daily in and out of feeding you that matters, which is why I want you to thank and welcome the Father who is giving you the daily bread and loving you every day of his life. Father Jay.
Caleb, you see now how the devil works? Wants to buy you first, and then fight you. Thank you very much, Father Leo. That was very encouraging to each one of us here in Our Lady of Lourdes, that this evening you dedicated to our patrons, Immaculate Conception. I came from Poland, as you well know, and now I do believe, because for a long time I thought that we have only one mother, which is Our Lady of Częstochowa. But I learned that now Our Lady was Italian, because she first gonna feed us through you tomorrow. So thank you for being here, for sharing your great insight and spirituality with us. Thank all of you for being here all these days, and tomorrow when we have this privilege to watch you cooking in the hall, I was thinking that with the amount of energy you have, we don't need any gas stove. Thank you very much, and God bless you and all your lovers.
You know, don't leave church early. And even though it goes a little late, I think it's because we all have a little Filipino in all of us. And more importantly, just to keep that sense of gratitude going. Tomorrow we're going to have a lot of fun. It starts at 6 p.m. We'll open around 5:30 p.m. And of course, thank you for your kindness, your generosity. If you're not going to be there tomorrow, trust that you'll be in my prayers. Stay in touch. Email. Sign up for the free email at fatherleofeeds.com. You can also do the whole Facebook thing as well, at Father Leo Feeds. And most importantly, I guess the only thing I can say is, how much do you love Mary now?
A lot.
Here's my recommendation. Love Jesus as Mary does. And love Mary as Jesus does. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
The Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth and proclaim the good news by your lives.
Join
in singing our closing hymn.
Our closing hymn is number 700, Hope Next to Not, and we will sing the first.
Thank you.